the Democrats, two-term Senator Evan Bayh says he's not going to seek re-election for a third term. What a shocker. And the reasons that he gives. He holds a news conference with his whole family in tow. I'll tell you about that in just a second. Snow slams the South, particularly Tennessee. They got the brunt of it. So did Atlanta as well. In the meantime, also in this hour here on the big jam-packed America Tonight, we have Cry Me a River, and we can count. Cry Me a River has to do with one of our esteemed governors, one of our major cities. I'll just give you that hint. How's that? Kate Delaney, happy to be here, is the captain of this ship called ATN. You can chime in with your thoughts at any time, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, or americatonight.net, which reminds me, we have a mailbag segment. We'll do that this hour as well. But Senator Evan Bayh dropped a bombshell on D.C. earlier in the day, particularly on his own party. He says he's not going to get that reelection bid going on. And he says it's because there's an overly partisan climate that he hates in Washington. And now, Bayh's an interesting cat because he's considered to be more of a centrist Democrat. He's never lost an election, either state, local, and, of course, nationally. He has not done that. So you think of the gaps the Democrats are trying to fill with some of the guys that has said that they're retiring, plus the problems, some huge problem areas like Nevada, Senator Harry Reid. I don't think he wins that one. And then all the House seats up. 2010 is the year. So that's coming up in the click of an eye. Here we are already deep into the second week of February. This is a big blow. And he said that this wasn't last minute. And he knew that this is what he thought that this was what he was going to do. And felt like this was a time to step away because he didn't like what was happening in Washington and that something different had to go on and there wasn't any bipartisan cooperation with whether it was jobs or anything else that they were talking about. So this leaves a big gaping hole, one that could be filled by a Republican, probably Dan Coats, maybe, maybe not. Now, even in the polls last week, Bayh was certainly ahead. He was 20 points or so ahead, so it's definitely nothing to do with being worried in this case of losing to the Republican. But this puts Coates front and center to possibly flip that to a GOP seat. So you got to think that, you know, the Republicans are licking their chops and the Democrats have to be in this mode of we've got to regroup, we got to do something here. You have to be kidding me. Within a year, this has only been 1 year and counting for a Democratic president, and we find ourselves with people dropping like flies, running for the hills, saying, forget it. I saw a quote today about American politics sucking, you know, when someone uses the word sucking, and it was John Podesta who was talking about where we are at this point. And, you know, this is a guy who was the former Clinton chief of staff, and he was the leader of the so-called Obama transition team, and he thinks we're in a sad state that he gave an interview to a rag that actually I read called the Financial Times, and he said, you know, listen, it just plain sucks. That's the deal. So what happened to all that hope and change and all the things that we were expecting to happen coming into last year? And We haven't seen it, and it's partly because of the economy, the tons of cash that went to the bankers, which there was no accountability there. I think that infuriated most of us, and healthcare reform certainly would be on the list as well. So if anything else, the Republicans, since there is no third party unless somebody runs as an independent, we've seen how unsuccessful in some cases that's been, but hey, rev her up, take her up for a drive, this could be the time to do it if there's any solid challengers out there. But Michael Steele, the Republican National Committee chair, not shy about grabbing a mic and expressing his opinions. He's got to be relishing in Bayh's decision not to to go for reelection, especially when he was so far ahead and would have been a layup to be reelected. So you have Bayh, you have Byron Dorgan, who's a Democrat from South Dakota, Chris Dodd, the Democrat from Connecticut, they're all leaving. There's this mass exodus of retirements, too, in the House of Representatives. But, of course, Republicans will have a similar thing happen. They have a few guys that are in that same spot. But I love what Steele said. He said they sold out, and this is what he should do in his position, okay? But I want to see if you think this is true. They sold out their constituents, and they didn't want to face them at the ballot box. And this is the problem, because you have this unpopular government health care plan that was floated out there of how many thousands of pages, the Senate version or the House version. You have the stimulus that so many voted on and just was a flat-out flop. And the concern over the deficit and where we're headed there. And I said this already, but the bailout, the bankers, the fat cats just getting richer. And then you find, you know, you peel down another layer and, ooh, you worry about what was the deal that Tim Geithner made. And it's infuriating, really. And it is spread. It is spread from the South to the Midwest to the East to the West. I mean, pick a country, any country. I think all of you listening to me, wherever you're listening to me, I will say this. I am very proud to be an American because more people have been politically active. And that's the way to go because we have a free society. We have a voice. And you certainly can express it. And that's what's happening here. People are expressing their frustration. Therefore, a guy like Senator... You know, Senator Bayh, he doesn't want to be there anymore. Now, he might have ulterior motives, like trying to run for president because he can read the tea leaves and see that all is not right in the land. And maybe he's ripe for a challenge. He hasn't lost anything. Maybe he'll take the big, bad leap and decide to go for it. I'm sure there's something else connected to this. I can't imagine his career in politics is completely over. But we're seeing very clear signals here of things to come. And some of the Democrats that are walking the plank, they don't want to walk the plank. They just want to bail. I think Steele is right in that assessment. They just want to bail, forget it. Okay, I didn't do what I said I was going to do. I voted for this. And we see what the blowback is, all the faxes we're getting, our phone lines are blowing up. And that's because of all of you and taking it a step further, not just calling a talk show or listening to what I'm saying, or listening to what other talk show hosts are saying, you might hear during the day, you're saying, you know what, I've really had enough of this. I'm here on a farm, I got a family, I'm trying to do this, I'm driving my truck, I'm working at the plant, I pay my taxes, and I don't like what's happening, so I'm expressing myself for the first time, I'm picking up a phone, or I'm sending a letter, and that's why, politically, we are where we are right now. And all of these people are really, they really are bailing. Oh, I got a better offer. I'm going to take it. Can't take it anymore. Coming up on the flip side, we can take it. We got Cry Me a River. Maybe you won't be surprised, but you'll like it. Stay with us.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
For men who want intimacy and pleasure back in their life, it's not a question of if, but when. So, Ben, when you want the spark back in your love life, when you want to bring back intimacy, when you want to please the special woman in your life, use Mojo Ryzen. Mojo Ryzen is a safe, revolutionary herbal sexual formula for men that combines ancient Chinese school of thought and modern science to significantly support stamina, performance, and pleasure. Mojo Ryzen is a proven 100% natural product that works the first time, every time. Mojo Ryzen works even after consuming alcohol. Mojo Ryzen will not give you unwanted side effects. Mojo Ryzen will allow you to give your partner what they deserve. Try just 3 capsules of Mojo Ryzen, and if not completely satisfied, send back the remainder for a full refund. Buy Mojo Ryzen at mojo-radio.com. That's mojo-radio.com. Or call toll-free 1-877-330-1120. That's 1-877-330-1120. Go big, go strong with Mojo Ryzen all night long.
The long night through. Well, you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I've cried a river over you. Now you say you're sorry for being so untrue. Well, then you can cry me a river, cry me a river. I'm
trying to
river over.
Not only but a goodie.
You drove me.
Cry me a river. I am so tired of hearing any of these politicians whine, but I'm going to give it to the governor of New York, David Paterson, to summarize how he's been feeling. He's basically telling everybody he's only going to leave office in a box. And what is this about? There have been all kinds of rumors that have been tied to a New York Times story that's supposed to come out. And he's saying he's not going to resign or drop out or any of that sort of stuff, that he's frustrated, and that the more that he gets frustrated, the more it gets him, his juices flowing, the more he's going to keep going, and he's going to run, and he's sick of the whole rumor thing. Doesn't he know he's in New York and people gossip in New York? Have to have a thicker skin. Give me a break. We're sick of the whiny. Anyway, we do have a little clip, I believe, of Paterson, and just a tiny, tiny little clip to show his frustration and how he spewed it out earlier in the day.
The article will be written about other subjects and not the ones that have been the source of the mass speculation and feeding frenzy and circus that we have witnessed the last couple of weeks.
Okay. He doesn't like the feeding frenzy. Why? Why is he not like it? Hey, he doesn't realize what is it like to be a politician in New York? And there are a couple of things. I mean, I say, who cares? Who cares? So if he's going to run, run. And whatever with the rumors. Some of them are true. Unfortunately, he got in the same problem with the relationship thing, etc. And you know, he's had to fight from the very beginning because there were things that started to come out about him. And Patterson, I supposedly was thinking about resigning, but he's saying it's bogus. It's not not true. And then there was the deal where he proposed the tax on sugary sweetened drinks, and there were a lot of people that were upset by that. There were a lot of people that are not happy with the gov. And remember, it was, I guess, when he first got into office, not too long after that, that he admitted to having sex with other women for years. So from the very beginning, he had a rocky ride. And this was on the heels of Elliot Spitzer. But still, that's the deal when you run for office and you jump into the political fray. You have to have thick skin. Give me a break. Why not just focus on what you need to do for the state of New York, not so much on the whole personal thing and how you're supposedly taking it on the chin. Hey, why not talk to Bill Clinton? He's got an office, after all, in Harlem, and he can tell you all about what it's like to be even a step further from the governor's office and to be the president of the United States, and the rumors that are sometimes true and you're trying to fend off, and the rumors that are not true that infuriate you. Clinton lately has made news, one for teaming up with Bush and trying to do what they could do to help the people of Haiti, but then he had what people thought was a heart attack scare, and it wasn't actually that. It's a procedure that's done many times after you have a bypass surgery. It might be years down the road, but it's not uncommon to have stents put in. I know somebody that's only just turned 40, and they had that done. I think Stu in Kentucky has told us that he had to have stents put in. We mentioned this before. And Larry King, the talk show host, has had that done. So it's not an unusual procedure, but it was weird to hear that Clinton said ill. The first thing I saw said ill, and I know I talked about this before, and said it was connected to his heart. So automatically you're thinking heart attack. It wasn't explained very well. He says thumbs up, and there were some things he couldn't do. And this is a little piece with him as he talked to reporters getting out of the hospital.
I feel great, and the doctors in the hospital crew did a great job. And I even did a couple miles on the treadmill today, so I feel good.
Did they tell you to take a day off or so?
No, they told me not to lift anything that weighs over 10 pounds for a week, not to jog, but to walk, but not to walk fast up steep hills for a week until the opening where they did the surgery in my leg heals. But they said that I should go back, and it's a miraculous thing. You can feel the energy coming back right away when there's all the arteries are pumping to the heart, you know. So it made a big difference.
Was it scary when last time you had seen your cardiologist before this? And were there any signs that, obviously, it's a relatively common complication?
Yeah, no. I tell you what, I was quite tired over Christmas and afterward, but from the time of the Haiti earthquake, which was a month ago today, I've been working a lot without sleeping much. You know, I've been down there a couple of times, but I've been working all over the country on it and trying to. I went to Switzerland to get some more business support there and had 3 overnight flights in a week, which is pretty tough. So I didn't really notice it until about 4 days ago, and then I felt just a little bit of tingling, not pain, no grabbing in my chest, and I thought I ought to check it out. And it is a fairly typical thing. As you know, Larry King had the same thing done about a month ago and didn't even say anything to anybody. It's miraculous what they do with the stents. You just go in and go out. And I didn't take any sedatives or anything, so I was alert. I wanted to watch it. I got to watch it all on the monitor. The best news about it was that because of the medicine and the other things I've done in the last 5 years, the diet and the exercise, the rest of my heart was exactly as it was 5 years ago, all my, you know, the arteries and everything just as clear. So,
all right, so that's Bill Clinton talking about his heart procedure. Like I said, some of you might be able to relate to that. If any of you have had that happen, it's much more common than one would think. Although, as he emphasized, it's the condition you're in once you get to that point and they have to put the stents in after all. So you mentioned the couple of flights that he had to take and back to Haiti and whatnot. now what they're worried about. You know, there have been 54 aftershocks, because we haven't talked about Haiti in a while since last week. We did the Hugs for Haiti thing and the idea of trying to get stuffed animals to the kids over there because there's so many orphans. There was a lot of orphans to begin with. Now there's even more to add to the equation, and a lot of Americans are still trying to help in different ways, whether it's through physical things they're sending or money. But now the people are concerned. It's always, it's about the shelter. You know, it's about that roof over your head. But can Port-au-Prince, if it were to get struck with another quake, and you got to think that that would just level that place even more. Sounds weird to say that because already the death toll is like 200,000 people. But 54 aftershocks have gone through that capital since January 12th. 54. I mean, you always hear of a handful of aftershocks, but that many? So what happens with some of the aftershocks, they're knocking down buildings that are already ready to fall over anyway. And then the demolition crews, they, you know, they can't get to them. So now you've got more of that dust that goes up into the air. And sadly, it's significant. You had three kids that were killed when a school collapsed in a northern city after another aftershock. And they just are assuming with the heavy rains and the tremor that that's added to it. So now you got people worried about that, where they're stuck in the tents, but they're still close to the city. I guess that goes back to the whole thing about let's get everybody out of the city. Just get them all out of there and get them far, far away. So you might have this initial catastrophe, but those aftershocks, people forget, are likely to happen. And there's a chance that you could have another large quake sometimes following it somewhere down the line. And that's happened before. I think I read somewhere where that happened in Turkey, where they had that one quake that killed 18,000 people. And then it was just a handful of months later, they had another quake. And the first one was like 7.4 in the Richter scale, and the second one was 7.2. So that's not unheard of. And there is concern at that Port-au-Prince area is incredibly vulnerable due to the population, the dense amount of people, and the shoddy construction, frankly. It was already shoddy to begin with. Now you're talking about anything that survived a quake, and it's that much worse. And there's a likelihood that you might see one, whether it's greater around the same magnitude or not. Boy, let's hope that doesn't happen as they try to rebuild there. That's awful that you had those three kids die with that school collapse. Oof. Stay with us. Odds and Ends coming up around the bend.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Get $1,000 in free groceries for only $4.90. It's true. The National Grocery Relief Program is now available to you. Consumer Advocate Response, in cooperation with the National Grocery Relief Program, is conducting surveys in your area for a limited time. Simply call their toll-free number to get your free $1,000 National Grocery Relief Program sent out to you today. This limited-time offer is completely confidential, and there's no restriction on what groceries you can get. That means with your $1,000, you can buy any of your favorite products in the grocery store. Call now and get your $1,000 worth of groceries free. Participation is limited, so call now. 1-800-554-9306. That's 1-800-554-9306. It's easy and completely confidential. Claim your relief package today. 1-800-554-9306.
If you like vitamins, say, I like vitamins.com. Vitamin lovers, it's your choice. Take pills and capsules with only about a 10 to 20% absorption rate, or take 10-in-1 liquid vitamin and mineral supplement at up to a 98% absorption rate. Yes, 10 formulas in one bottle. 10-in-1 liquid supplement is in your system in as little as 3 minutes. Just shake it and take it. Go to ilikevitamins.com now and see our amazing video. 10-in-1 contains 23 essential vitamins, trace minerals, goji berry, acai, mangosteen, pomegranate, Sandra seed extract, rhodiola, lycopene, aloe, CoQ10, amalaki, and much more. All that and saves money, too. Now you can get a one-month supply for only $29.97, plus shipping and handling. 10-in-1 great-tasting liquid supplement is equal to taking up to 5 different products and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to ilikevitamins.com. That's ilikevitamins.com. Or call 256-444-8000. 256-444-8000. Distributors wanted. Details at ilikevitamins.com.
Tonight, happen to be on Interstate 64 a little bit earlier in the day, or even tonight, backed up at one point, only one lane could even get through. Why? The white stuff slamming into the state. Snow and ice hitting Tennessee, northern Alabama, Atlanta was got like a second coating, but not as bad as some of the other areas. However, there were a lot of traffic accidents rather there, where a couple of inches is something they're not used to. But Alabama, pretty bad, up to 3 to 4 inches. And in Memphis, they had a little bit of snow, but not as much as Nashville did. Nashville had a lot of ice, some icy patches on the road, and some of that significant snow that started to pile up. But in Kentucky, they were getting it in the... And the travel conditions I heard were terrible earlier in the day. Sudden you got it. And people, if they're just driving like idiots, or they just don't have the right equipment on the tires, then, you know, you start to get those spin outs. All it takes is one spin out and everybody else will suffer as a result of that. Trust me, I just went through this last week where we had a record amount of snowfall. Don't they wish they had that in Vancouver? This is something that's not being talked about a lot, but I happened to see this. The U.S. skier Hannah Carney, who won gold, said when she was going down the run at Cypress Mountain, and that was the mountain we talked about that they were trucking in a bunch of snow, and it's layered. The moguls are there, but it looks deceiving, I guess. And she's the one coming down the hill at that high rate of speed. And when she was coming down, she heard kind of a crunch, and she said she could feel it grab the bottom of the ski. And, you know, a hole in your ski could certainly turn your runner in a different direction. It hit a rock. The crunch she felt was the rocks cutting through the melting snow. So a hole punched through when she was starting to, when she was skiing down, just starting. So the snow was pretty sparse. And I thought it was funny what she said afterwards. She didn't look. She didn't tell anyone. She just wanted to try to get the medal. So she just went down on a damaged ski, and she ended up winning the gold medal. So when we're watching it on the tube, if you've watched even a few minutes of it, it's mostly been snow events, some on the ice, but you look and it looks like a lot of snow to me, but there's grass and mud from their vantage point that you might not see with the camera hasn't shown, and it's pretty bad. They've had to keep trucking in the snow, and they scoop it up pretty much from one mountain area and replace it into, you know, they replace the snowpack with bales of, the lost snowpack with bales of hay. And making snow is impossible. I didn't realize this because Vancouver has had the warmest January on record and the rain is killing them. They're calling it the Spring Olympics. That's what the athletes are in the village. They're making jokes about it. The snowboarders say it's been, excuse me, just horrible. And even 8,000 spectators were told they couldn't watch from the sidelines of the course for fear that they would sink to their knees in mud. Wow. So I guess you have to ask the countries where you're going, how much snow do you normally get? And if you don't get that snow, do you have enough that can be trucked in that's waiting somewhere in a warehouse that you can easily get it there? So it has become more of a problem in Vancouver than I thought, because I thought they started to get some snow, but that hasn't been the case. Matt, isn't that crazy that she skied down, and I'm sure you've probably skied. Can you imagine you're going down a different kind of skiing that she's doing, of course, at that speed, but she feels a crunch, and so she knows the rock has cut through, and she just keeps, what is she going to do? She keeps going, and then she wins the gold medal.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I actually did some ski racing back in the day. I was on the high school racing team.
Wow.
But I was never that good.
It's a challenge for the Olympics.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, we did slalom and some like giant slalom, but not a lot. So I got some experience getting some speed on the skis, but nothing like they do in the Olympics. They reach, I mean, it's crazy how fast they're going. And when they hit, it's not really a jump, but it's a drop off to get some air. It's ridiculous how fast they're going, how high off the ground they are, and you got to land on the skis and keep your momentum going too.
Yeah, and has to be awful though. I mean, they are saying it. The athletes are complaining about that, and like I said, in the villages and stuff, they don't want to be weenies about it. But they might not be saying that on camera, or you're just getting glimpses of it. But it's what we were saying before the Olympics is definitely true. They're having slush problems. When you have people that have tickets to an Olympic event and they can't go and be on the sidelines because they might sink in the mud, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, definitely not.
What do you do? Truck it in. What can you do?
Yeah, I mean, in Minnesota, we have had snow machines here forever where, you know, when it gets warmer out, they just make snow. But it's kind of difficult to do that for Olympic competition, just have, you know, a bunch of fake powder out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do. I hope they
get through it.
Yeah.
Without, I mean, that's all they can do.
Too.
Yeah, without any injuries. That's true. That's the point. If they had some, we saw what happened with the luge, but that was a mistake, I think, with the way the contraption at the end was with the pole, and they fixed that. In this case, what if you had some terrible injury as a result of the rocks? Like, she hit the rocks and it put a hole in the ski, and she kept going, and she wins the gold. But if it continues like that, I wonder if they're going to have to cancel. If they had to cancel an event, that'd be something. But if it gets that bad, they might have to do it. They can't risk near-death injuries, not because of the way somebody's skiing, but because of the course conditions. They'd have to think about it.
Yeah, unfortunately, they can't really control the weather.
No.
So when it gets warmer out, it's harder to make the snow just appear there, because you got to have, I can't remember what the temperature is that you got to have to actually make the snow. It doesn't have to be freezing. I think they can do it differently because they can refrigerate. They have, like, coolant they can put into it, but I don't know. They need to do something and get some more snow on the course, because rocks on skis does not work out.
No. Rocks on skis is not good. Trust me, it is not. I was not like Matt. I wasn't a little speed racer on the high school team, but the little tiny bit I did for fun at a place called Jack Frost in the Poconos, boy, if the conditions weren't right, they were quick to close that sucker down, even though it cost them some money. Or sometimes we would ski and you'd have ice, and that was terrible. You just slid all over the place, which I didn't like ice either, but definitely not rocks.
Yeah, I remember one of the last races I was ever in. It was a really icy course, and I took a pretty nasty fall, and I didn't tear up my knee, but I didn't do it any good, that's for sure. And I sprained some ligaments, and I was out for the year after that.
Oh.
So. You can definitely hurt yourself skiing.
No kidding. You can do some serious damage. We've seen that. We've seen that with our skiers in the things that they've done to their knees. Although, good job by Bodie Miller. He ended up getting the bronze medal. Good for him. He may be one of my faves because he just rocks it, and he doesn't care. This is what I love about this guy. He just does not care what anyone thinks. However, there are others who don't like that attitude and think that he's blown a position on the Olympic team, but he's an incredible skier. And in this downhill, he was able to at least take the bronze, which it was good to see him. The last time around, if you remember, they were talking about how he wasn't putting enough. I don't know if it was not putting enough into it, but they didn't like the attitude he was taking and partying and out all crazy hours in the village and everything else, and then he didn't walk away with the medals. So now at least this time he gets everybody that wants to criticize him off his back, because he's got the bronze medal. The U.S., by the way, does have 8 medals in total. 2 of them are gold. How about that? And one is the story that I just told you about from the other day, where her ski actually cut in to that rock, and luckily she was able to have the incredible run she did. But as anybody who's ever even gone down on skis, and you people in Vermont know exactly what I'm talking about, boy, that's some tough conditions when you're dealing with that. All right, this is Odds and Ends, so I want to catch up on a couple of quick things. Sadly, this happened, and we talked about it just very briefly, but they had 2 commuter trains collide during rush hour in Belgium, and 18 people dead. There were 250 to 300 passengers or so on the 2 trains. It's lucky it wasn't worse. There were at least 80 other people that were injured, and there was a light snow that was just outside the station that they were coming into, southwest kind of Brussels, right in the middle of, as I said, the rush hour time, 8:30 in the morning. What a terrible tragedy for them, and you see the photographs of it. Ugh. The 2 trains just crushed against each other, and it's like when you were a kid and you play with the trains, you put them like that, it really looks like that, where they're just up in the air and they're off the track. And so it looks like one car was tipped onto its side, so you had all these people on stretchers along the tracks and survivors come in complete shock, limping around and walking. I happen to see some of the video. They're just walking away from the crash, and people are helping them, and they're just stunned, and it happens in an instant. And, you know, somebody gets ejected, and they're lying there, and somebody else gets banged around, and they have lighter injuries. It just depended on where they were on those trains, and the crash caused massive damage to the power lines, and there's that Eurostar train. They run between Brussels and London. They had to suspend it, of course, for the day. They have a high-speed network. It's pretty fast, the train, and how it goes back and forth from there. Heavy, heavy traffic, and they're looking into the cause of the crash. They don't have any theories on that just yet. We have a theory on what's coming up next. Let me see. We can count. Stay in the game.
From the ancient lost book of Tobias, we read,
"Then the angel said to him, take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee, for these are necessary for useful medicines."
This passage tells how livers of fish were important to man's health then and are now. Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality sacred food oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, with fermentation. Cold fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. For more information and a 20% discount off of first orders, visit greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good through March 31st. Or call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Call Green Pasture products today.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Lose 1 to 2 pounds a day the healthy way and keep it off with the help of the entire real HCG diet. With an average weight loss of 1.5 to 2 pounds a day, you can be in that bikini or swimming suit in no time. You've heard of people spending over $700 for this exact same diet at doctor's offices? Now you can start the entire HCG diet for under $100. YourHCG.com is the largest HCG reseller in the entire country, and we want to help you. We have helped thousands of people shed unwanted weight, so call YourHCG.com today. No prescription required. No doctor visit required. No painful injections. With every purchase, we'll provide you with everything you need, including your supply of HCG, unlimited one-on-one phone and email support from one of our amazing health coaches, in addition to a large list of menus, diets, and much more. Visit www.yourhcg.com or call us at 877-748-2709 to order your HCG today. Again, that's 877-748-2709 at yourhcg.com. We love you.
Or 7 plus 8 makes 15, and that's where we start with We Can Count. Global warming in the last 15 years, insignificant. Say it's not true. That's what one of England's top climate scientists has admitted to. Whew. So the embattled ex-head of the research center at the heart of this scandal dropped a huge bombshell over the weekend. He admitted in an interview that he did for the BBC that there hasn't been any global warming over the past 15 years. He's saying it's just not true. The guy's name is Phil Jones, and he's the former head of the climatic research unit at the University of East Anglia, and he made a number of statements to the BBC's climate reporter that included this. Information from the CRU, where he was the chief scientist, is is what he's saying is key evidence behind the claim that the growth of cities which are warmer than the countryside isn't a factor in global warming. And that's one of the things that was cited by the UN's climate science body to naturally bolster statements about we've got to do something. There is global warming in all these recent decades. We're in trouble. So he was asked a question, and here's the number part. Do you agree from 1995 to the present there's been no statistically significant global warming? He said yes. He said it's quite close to a very insignificant level of anything that's gone up. He says he is nevertheless 100% confident that climate has warmed, but he admits that the climate gate scandal has undermined public confidence in science, and it's worn him down as well with the amount of emails that he's gotten. But he stands by his statement that, listen, 15 years there has not been global warming. He also allowed for the possibility that the world as a whole was warmer in medieval times than it is today, a concession that would probably undermine all those theories that are being put out there that global warming is caused by man. He's not going to be invited to any conferences on global warming in the near future because he set off a storm of epic proportions right before the big summit. And there were people that are none too happy with that. And now he's still backing up what he's saying. He's saying, listen, I've been doing this research, and here's what it is. It is what it is. He's not going to finagle the numbers. So good for him for coming clean with the BBC and facing down all the people that are furious with him. And there were an incredible amount, apparently. How many Oscar nominees get to share lunch? The answer to that is however many want to show up. And they had the big luncheon, which means anybody who's nominated goes, and they get to talk and hang out. And apparently, if you wanted to count all the actors and the actresses and directors and all the people involved in the production, you'd be looking at 55 people plus showing up for the Oscar luncheon. I guess reporters can come and ask questions afterwards, but it's pretty much a closed deal. It's an annual thing that they do, and they can just kind of go from table to table like a Sandra Bullock and hang out with a Jeremy Renner, who was the best actor contender for, or he is the best actor contender for a movie that I really like called The Hurt Locker. And, of course, Sandra Bullock is up for The Blind Side. So that sounds pretty cool. That'd be a fun room to be in, wouldn't it? Just to have conversation, I think, about anything, because they're just talking about anything. It's not high pressure. They're not there for awards. And there are, like I said, Matt, a few journalists that get to go to it. And for them, I think that would be cool because it's because of the relaxed nature of it, the chance that you could get a decent off-the-cuff interview instead of a canned deal where they're pressing a movie.
Yeah, probably more something like, the Correspondents' Dinner in Washington, something like that, where everyone's not on edge and trying to have the perfect answer, just kind of more candid.
Yeah, they're chill. And that's more fun. It's always more fun to talk to somebody, I think, in that condition than where it's more staged. Because you're really, even the best interviewer or reporter, which a lot of times in entertainment, I don't know if I would classify some of the people that do that as the best, the creme de la creme, although there are people who are very good at it. But this is a more layup scene, I think, where you get some good, solid information. So there was this well-being survey that was done by Gallup, and, you know, meaning all kinds of things. Who had the best well-being in the country? Hawaii's residents had the highest well-being in the nation in 2009, pulling ahead of Utah. How about that? So the well-being index score is 70.2, and that's what Hawaii got. I can totally see it, because it is the land of kickback. It is a land of, you know, I was just using the word chill at this Oscar luncheon. No pressure, no awards, no big press to make some big speech. It is very chill in Hawaii. If any of you listening ever get a chance to go, because it is ridiculously expensive unless you're going on someone else's dime. You win Publishers Clearing House. You win the lottery. your uncle dies, your favorite uncle, you loved him to death, but he leaves you a big chunk of change. Depending on where you live, it can cost you a bunch. But it is very, there's just something about it. The minute you get off the plane, it is, I'm serious, it's relaxing. Apparently Utah had the same thing, and the well-being index was high, but Hawaii surpassed them. The states are interesting after that. Montana gets a 68.3 rating in the well-being index score. Minnesota, which I think the people are great in Minnesota. And I've lived in the Midwest, and I think the people from Minnesota, this, again, is stereotyping, but I think they are very Midwest-friendly. And maybe that goes a long way because they are 4 on the index, 67.8. Iowa, like our good friend Jana in Iowa and all the people that listen to us there, 67.6. All our pals in Vermont, you score high, 67.4 for the well-being index. Colorado behind that, Alaska, North Dakota, and Kansas. The bottom states include West Virginia, Kentucky, Arkansas, Ohio, Nevada, Indiana, Alabama, Tennessee, Mississippi, Oklahoma, Rhode Island, and Louisiana. Now, the Gallup Healthways Wellbeing Index takes a bunch of information. They do almost 400,000 interviews, and they talk to adults 18 and older across all 50 states. That's how they come up with it. And how do you come up with what is the term well-being? And what it means is you're talking about somebody's emotional health, their work environment, their physical health, the healthy behaviors, probably eating and what kind of exercise they do, and access to basic necessities. So that's how they calculate it on a scale of 0 to 100. And I told you the top one. So they take all those things into account. You think of physical health, healthy behaviors, access to basic necessities. It could be the weather partially, although that wouldn't be so for Minnesota unless you really like in the wintertime anyway, because in the summer it is beautiful there with the lakes and stuff, but you'd have to like the winter weather too, the cold weather. But in Hawaii, I can absolutely see it. And I talked about the lowest well-being states, and all of them were in the South. Boy, the South always gets knocked for that, doesn't it? But hey, have you ever gone to Kentucky? Same thing. I mean, the people are great. It's green beyond all get out when you go there in the springtime. The people seem pretty happy to me, but I guess it's not about us, about all those other factors. The work thing, I can see that, and all the other things that would go into the spectrum that would come up with this crazy index. The state that I'm living in didn't even make it. Made it kind of like in the mid-range. So some of the people are happy and some aren't. Emotional health, by the way, has to do with smiling or laughter, learning or doing something interesting, being treated with respect, enjoyment, happiness. How about this work environment? Check this out for all of you people on the index, either for the best or the worst. Job satisfaction, ability to use one's strengths at work, supervisor's treatment, and is it open and trusting in your work environment? Aha. Uh-huh. I don't know. I think there's some people that could probably dispute that for what it's worth. Send me your thoughts anytime. AmericaTonight.net.
You have mail, mistress.